Grace and peace be unto you from God, who is our Father and our Mother, and from Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Today's sermon is going to focus on the first reading that we heard a minute ago, the reading from the prophet Jeremiah, and it's going to be a little bit of a historical sermon. I want you to imagine that you have just been able to travel in time, and you go back in time to approximately the year 594, August, to be exact, and you go to the Holy Land, and you walk where the king is meeting with the prophets and the priests, and you see something really strange. You see a man, Jeremiah, who is wearing a yoke on his neck. You know, the same kind that farmers use to plow the soil. So the prophet Jeremiah is standing there wearing a yoke around his neck, facing another prophet, the prophet Hananiah, who has a sword in his hand that is raised. Now, what happened? How do we get to this point? Well, in order to understand why in heavens the prophet Jeremiah is wearing a yoke around his neck, we need to rehearse the history of Israel a little bit. You know that after the Exodus, after the people were freed from bondage in Egypt, they wandered in the desert for 40 years. And after that, they were able to conquer the lands from the Canaanites and the Amorites and all the countries that were there. And they lived there with judges that were prophets and leaders for many years. And finally, they came to their prophets and said, "We want a king, like the other nations have a king. We want a king too." And so they were given Saul and then David. And then they were promised that the line of David would always be in the throne. And that was the case for about 200 years. Although shortly after David's son Solomon became king, the kingdom got divided. So there was the northern kingdom, Israel proper, and then the southern kingdom, which was Judah. And for 200 years, it was lots of fighting, lots of infighting. And then one empire emerged after the Egyptians, which was the Assyrian Empire. And then the Assyrian Empire attacked Israel and totally destroyed the northern kingdom. It totally destroyed Israel and sent everybody into exile. And then it subjugated the south. It subjugated Judah. So the Judah became a vassal. They became subservient to the Assyrians. Now, no kingdom lasts forever. No empire lasts forever. And so the Assyrians, put in their mouth more than they could chew. They chew more than they can swallow. Yeah, is that the expression? And so they began to invade all these countries, and then they just overextended. And so they invaded Babylon, and Babylon resisted and started fighting. And they invaded Egypt, and Egypt resisted and started fighting. And while they were distracted fighting Egypt, Babylon became strong, and then Babylon began to take back some of the countries that had been invaded by the Assyrians. In the midst of this, there is Judah. There is the southern kingdom trying to decide, are we going to side now with the Egyptians that are now have taken over the Assyrians and are now strong, or are we going to side with the Babylonians? And there's that tension, and they're trying to decide what to do. The king is very eager to fight the Babylonians and to go with the Egyptians. However, the prophet Jeremiah had a vision, and in the vision, God told the prophet to put on a wooden yoke and to go and to tell the king and to tell the priests and to tell the other prophets that Israel, Judah, and the surrounding countries were being punished because of their injustice, because of their idolatry, because of their unfaithfulness. And the prophecy was that God had risen up a champion, King Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon, to subdue all the nations and to punish them because of their injustices and because of their idolatry. And that for 70 years, they were going to have to carry the yoke of Babylon over their necks. Okay? Now, there were prophets that were moved by the Spirit of God, like Jeremiah, and spoke the truth. And then there were prophets that were on the payroll of the king and would tell the king what the king wanted to hear, and would tell the people what the people wanted to hear. And so standing in front of the prophet Jeremiah, we have another prophet, one that was on the payroll of the king, the prophet Ananiah. And Ananiah thought that this was not a good thing to tell the people that were traumatized already by war and by so much suffering. And so in a dramatic move, the prophet Hananiah drew his sword and broke the yoke that the prophet Jeremiah was wearing. And he said, not so. He said, my prophecy is that in 2 years, not only are we going to be free from the yoke of Babylon, but Babylon had invited them before and had taken away some things from the temple. And so he said, not only are we going to be free from the yoke of Babylon, but we're going to have the deportees return. We're going to have the exiles return in 2 years. And we're also going to have all the vessels from the temple be brought back. That was his prophecy. And that's what we heard today, where Jeremiah's response, where Jeremiah says, amen, amen. I wish it was so. I wish that that was true. But that's not the case. And he said, you have broken a yoke of wood. The Lord is going to put on you a yoke of iron. And he said, if you humbly submit to the Lord and accept your punishment, after 70 years, it will be over. And after 70 years, then it will be Babylon's turn to be punished. But if you do not accept humbly the punishment of the Lord, then you will be, you will have famine, you will have war, and you will be destroyed. And that was what happened later. In the year 588, the Babylonians sieged the city of Jerusalem. And for 2.5 years, they were sieged. And that is a testament to the strength of the people there, the strength of the walls that they had built, all the system that they had to be able to feed for 2.5 years. But then in the year 586, the Babylonians were able to take over. They destroyed the walls, and they burned the temple. They burned the city, and they sent the people into exile. And the king that had rebelled against the Babylonians, these were terrible times. He was forced to see how his sons, were killed in front of him, and then his eyes were removed, so that was the last thing that he saw. A terrible, terrible thing. What is interesting about this text is that it shows to us a tension that is present in the Bible, in the Old Testament. There is, in the Old Testament, two lines of thought that we have reflected in the readings for today. During the Psalm, we read one of those lines of thinking. And the Psalm said, on verse 4, I will establish your line forever and preserve your throne for all generations. So there was the idea that God had made this pact with the people of Israel, including Judah, and that they were a special people, that they were a chosen people, and that God had made them had given them the promise that there will always be a Davidic king ruling, and that nothing could take that away from them. That was based on God's will. That was one line of thinking. When you read the first four books of the Bible, from Genesis through Leviticus, Numbers, you see that idea. You know, you see the conquering of the land, you see the establishment of this idea that God is promising that this is going to be your land. But when you start reading the book of Deuteronomy, the book of Joshua, the Judges, then you see something a little bit different. There's a tension that is emerging. There's a prophetic line of thinking that says, no, 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 no. God established a covenant with you, which means that there's a part that you need to fulfill. And if you do not keep your side of the covenant, then you have annulled the covenant. Then the covenant is not in effect anymore. And because you have bowed down to other gods, because you have not listened to the will of God, you have basically annulled, canceled the covenant. And so the job of the prophet, like Jeremiah, again and again, was to remind the people to be faithful to the covenant. But in a way that it was basically truth speaking. So the job of the prophet was to tell the people, look how far you have fallen from who God wants you to be. The job of the prophet was to lift up two mirrors in front of the people so that the people could see who they have become, what they have done, and in the other one, the consequences of their actions. Now, in the poetic language of the scriptures, that was presented as punishment. But in reality, it is as simple as, if I drop this, it will fall. That's how gravity works. If the country is unfaithful, if the country doesn't practice justice, then it will fall. It will not be able to stand. Now, nobody wants to hear that message, so prophets were not well received, except those that were on the payroll of the king. But the prophets that were sent by God, that had received the word of God, were not very well received, which is why in today's gospel reading, Jesus says, not only prophets, but those that receive prophets in my name will receive the reward of a prophet. Because prophet, nobody wants to listen to prophets. So as we prepare to celebrate the 4th of July, as we prepare to celebrate the independence of our nation, I invite you to ponder as you celebrate, who are the prophets in our midst? Who are the prophets that God has sent us? Or if Jeremiah was walking around us, would he have a joke over his head? And what would be the message that he has for us? What would be the things that Jeremiah or that the prophets would praise us for as a nation? What are the things that we have gotten right? What are the things that we should celebrate? And then also, when he lifts the mirrors to us, what are some of those things that we have gotten really wrong? And what are the things that we need to do to fix them? That's the question. I hope that we will